Certainly he had reached such legendary status that he could talk like this, no matter how many eyebrows he might raise. The legendary conductor Arturo Toscanini once said, "I will tell you quite frankly, sometimes I find Mozart boring. Not the G minor, that is great tragedy, and not concerti, but other music. It is always beautiful, but it is always the same." Meanwhile, conductor Bruno Walter, who worked closely with Gustav Mahler, gives Mahler credit for, quote, "saving Mozart from," as he put it, "from the lie of daintiness, as well as from the boredom of academic dryness." And Walter came to revere Mozart, ridding himself, he said, of the conception of Mozart as the graceful and smiling Rococo composer, finally recognizing him as the Shakespeare of opera, believing that every characteristic and truthful detail of the music must be given vigorous and dramatic expression. And pianist Geza Anda takes that point even further. "What you really have to do is go back to the music itself," he said, "without preconceptions, and read what is there. And when you do this, you find nothing is small-minded about it, or small-hearted either. The Mozart concertos turn out to be big, expressive works, and today especially, I think it is important to make the bigness and the expressiveness very clear." All that from the study Conductors on Composers by John L. Holmes. Geza Anda advising simply, go back to the score and open your eyes. And that's just what Mélisse Brunet did instinctively as a young musician. And it was a revelation. And she fell head over heels, and not just with Mozart, but with classical music and all its delights. And it's just such an approach Brunet took with Beethoven as she stood before the musicians of the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic in her audition for the position of apprentice conductor in 2017. And the immediate bonds that formed then and there with Beethoven and the orchestra have only deepened. Mélisse Brunet has just been appointed new interim music director of the Northeastern Pennsylvania, beginning with the 2018-2019 season. And speaking of Bruno Walter, Mélisse Brunet is one of the six conductors selected from nearly 150 applicants for the 2018 Bruno Walter National Conductor Preview, chosen on their experience, talent, leadership potential, and commitment to a career in service to American orchestras by the League of American Orchestras. Similarly, Mélisse was one of the six women conductors selected, over 161 applicants representing 33 countries, for the Hart Institute for Women Conductors at the Dallas Opera that took place in 2017 in Dallas, Texas. Mélisse Brunet is a native of Paris. She graduated with academic honors from the University of La Sorbonne and from the highly selective Paris Conservatoire, where she earned a master's in orchestral conducting, as well as five diplomas in harmony, counterpoint, Renaissance counterpoint, orchestration, and musical analysis. The appointment of Mélisse Brunet as interim music director clearly suggests the orchestra is looking to the future, and a very bright one with Mélisse Brunet. And we had a visit from Nancy Sanderson, executive director of the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic, and Mélisse Brunet, to talk about the latest developments. Nancy Sanderson.
In August of 2017, the board made a very difficult decision to suspend operations after the October Pops concert to keep a presence in the community. We did present a chamber music series, but all of the main stage productions that are so expensive were suspended until we had a chance to look at our finances and come up with a strategic plan that was realistic and doable. So the board has worked so hard to get to this point. We're in year one of a five-year strategic plan, and we have presented a reduced season in terms of the numbers of concerts. At the end of year one, if we reach certain benchmarks, then we can go ahead and build the next season to be a little bit bigger. And the hope is that within 5 years, we've restored the full season and we have changed financial habits that are much more healthy and realistic. And we're very excited about this, but I do want to say that our financial challenges have not disappeared. We've been able to whittle away at them, but I don't want to send the wrong message to our community. We've still got a distance to cover. But one very happy announcement we have made is that Melise Brunet will be our interim conductor. Melise came to us in 2015 as an apprentice conductor, and she did so well, we immediately changed her to assistant conductor, and she had full concerts that she was able to conduct last year. And so knowing how much the orchestra members enjoy playing under her direction, and just knowing how much the community loves her, we just felt it was a perfect fit for now. When we are more stable in 2 or 3 years, then we will run a conductor search.
It's something I'm sure that you had to consider carefully, or did you just say that you loved the experience that you've had with the orchestra and you'd like to work with the musicians and realize your common vision for music making in our area?
The position I got here in 2015 was my first really important position. And I am a very loyal person. And I've loved working with the orchestra and working for the audience and the community. And when that happened, I wanted to help and give back things that I've gotten from the orchestra and from the community. So I didn't ask myself the question, you know, should I do it or not? I think it's really important for me to help the orchestra, to bring back the orchestra in the community and to bring even more audience and to make that orchestra really, really, again, very important in the community, allow young people and less young people to come to listen to great performances, high-level performances.
Is this something that you feel about music from the time you were a young person with your first instrument, about music being part of a community or family? Because when you're studying an instrument, you're pretty much in a practice room, aren't you? And isolated in a certain way.
You know, I've learned that it's very difficult when you're a kid, because I was not a genius. I was a genius kid. You know, I'm not that kind of person. And my parents, they thought that for their kids would be important to learn music. So I decided to go for the cello. And then, you know, as a young kid, I wanted to spend more time outside and go play with the friends rather than practicing my instrument. And it was some fights with the parents. No, I want to stop and I want to go outside. No, no, you keep music until you're 18 years old and then you can decide. And of course, they were smart, because by then I loved music. You know, I had grown up enough, and it has brought so many things to me. And as a teenager, when it's very difficult times at school, sometimes with others and in your life and development, that music really helped me to express myself in a different way. And that's what I want really now for everybody to discover, that through music we can feel so much more than with anything else in life, you know, because with sports you can let go a lot of things and feel good in your body and brain and everything. And with music, you can exactly have the same emotions and even more of them, because there are so many different types of music. We don't know anyone who doesn't listen to music. I mean, do you know someone? I mean, everybody listens to music, because any time of the day we can feel different things with different type of music. So as a teenager, playing the cello and playing some music by Mozart, I felt suddenly I want to share my passion with everybody. And that's been my drive for all of these years, basically.
Then you went about studying both in France, and then you came here to the States, and eventually you made your way to northeastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you know, life is full of surprises, and it's a big surprise that I ended up in America, because I had no plans of going abroad, absolutely none. And I was at the Paris Conservatoire, which is a very competitive school in France, high-level music school. And I was kind of tired of this competitiveness and I need more human feelings and something on a different scale. So, and I had that opportunity to come as an exchange student in Cleveland, Ohio, with the Cleveland Institute of Music, which I did for 4 months. And believe it or not, I showed up in Cleveland in January 2010, and I fell in love with that place.
On the lake there.
Yeah. It was just gorgeous, you know, to see, first of all, a real winter with snow, because, you know, in Paris, there is a lot of rain. It's more like Seattle, more rainy, but to have that winter, and people were so nice. They were saying hi and how are you? And I was not used to that. So I fell in love with the country and with the people. And since then, I didn't want to leave anymore. So, yeah. And I ended up in Pennsylvania here because I saw that position opening while I was doing some more studies in Michigan. I applied to it, to that position, and got very lucky to be invited as a finalist. And that was immediately, like we say in French, coup de foudre, you know, like a love story starting. Because I remember it was Beethoven's Seventh Symphony to conduct. And I didn't know what exactly they would ask me, but I had to rehearse and conduct excerpts of all movements. And I was, okay, let's just be about music. And I started bringing new ideas of performing that piece in their rep. You know, they have played it for many years, all the musicians. And I was, yeah, let's try that differently, you know, and being really close to the score. And everybody was, oh, yeah, that's fun, you know. And we had that interaction between each other. Like, I was bringing things and they wanted to know more. And we were creating great music. And I felt so great right after, because I felt the musicians were happy to have done music and I was super happy to have done music myself. So that was a very great start.
Nancy, did you hear those rehearsals?
I did. And I knew right away. There was no question. And I have to tell you, the competition was stiff. There were several fine conductors who auditioned for that position. But the other thing I could tell is that the orchestra responded to Malice so well.
I think, you know, you cannot lie to a group of people, because when you're a conductor, you manage and you lead in real time. You're not hidden in an office, you know, and give orders to people to get the stuff done. So you're here in front of the people. And musicians are super sensitive. They have a lot of experience. So the moment you walk on stage, they can feel the kind of person you are and in which state of mind you are. Are you stressed? Are you someone mean? You know, are you ego driven? They're gonna feel all of that even before you show up. And I think you have some conductors who are really about what's in the score, and they want to share this passion with the musicians and with the audience, and that transpires, and musicians want that, the audience feels it too, and then that makes an unforgettable experience.
Does the fact that you happen to be a woman who is conducting an orchestra, does that figure in the dynamics, do you think, at all? Or do the musicians say, this is Melisse and this is her vision and we're going to work together to get the Beethoven right?
Yeah, you know, human beings and professionals at that level, they have one goal in mind, is to work well and to play the greatest music. So if they have someone in front of them who is a good professional, they don't care. It's a man, it's a woman. You know, it would be someone coming from Mars or a different planet. As long as they do the music, that's what they want. Because finally, if they know that they're going to spend a good time at the office, you know. So they're in good hands and they can express themselves. So when you do your job, you have some times here and there, and it's never happened here with Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic. It happened more in my country where the culture is different. Sometimes a few musicians are going to try to, you know, to poke you and, oh yeah, she's a woman, let's try her, you know, and how's she going to react to that? But here is very different. It's a very professional behavior and let's do the greatest music. But we're just here to work, you know.
Nancy, how will we experience the season then? We are going to have concerts. How many and how will it be distributed throughout
the year?
Yes,
we will be presenting 2 Masterworks concerts, 2 holiday concerts, and 1 PNC Pops concert. And we will have a chamber series as well. And I think that Malice can talk about what repertoire will be on each program.
What were your thoughts
I'm really happy for the community, you know. It's really important for the cities here, Wilkes-Barre and Scranton, to have an orchestra of that level back. It's so important. I hope everybody realizes that and everybody comes and shows support, because I'm here for the community. The musicians come here for the community, and we want to offer that because that's what makes a difference in cities. It's the culture we can offer to people. And it's in town, you know, you don't have to travel to Philadelphia or to New York City. It's coming to you here. So come listen to us next season.
So how do we open then in October?
Yeah, October, it's going to open with that piece, and I'm going to let you find which piece it is.
Ré do ré do ré.
Okay, Erika is dancing.
I think the mood in the house will be just ready to dance.
Yeah,
I think,
yeah.
Don't you think?
A great way to open the season.
Would you want to come back with anybody but Mozart?
No, you know, it's perfect opening overture to Not Say Difficult, and then it's going to be even more emotions with Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto Number 2, featuring Spencer Meyer playing. He was here for some chamber music concerts in April. And we're going to end that first concert with Brahms Symphony Number 2.
They call it the Sunny Symphony Number 2 by Brahms.
And talk about the second masterworks.
In between, we will have, of course, the two holiday concerts in December, Scranton and Wilkes-Barre. Then in February, we will have the Beatles concert with the Piano Man in Wilkes-Barre. So they are back in February. And we will end the season with also a big, big masterworks concert, starting with the Pastoral, Beethoven's Pastoral, and the second half of the concert, Les Quatre Saisons. How do you say it even in English?
The Four Seasons.
Four Seasons, yeah. Les Quattro Stagioni, Vivaldi, Antonio Vivaldi, and featuring Yevgeny Kutik, violin.
He's just an incredible player. It's so impressive.
Tell us more about your connection with Mozart. You were playing the cello, and the composer you mentioned was Mozart. What does Mozart mean to you?
Well, Mozart is the reason why I'm a conductor. It's been a very long story and a love story with bad times and wonderful time, and it ended well, you know. So what happened is that I was a teenager, I was playing the cello in the orchestra, and we were playing a Mozart symphony, and I was super bored. Super bored. And I was thinking, how would someone have spent the entire life writing music that would be boring? Why would someone pick that job? You know, I was really pragmatic and thinking, it's not possible that someone is going to pick the job of writing boring music their entire life. So if that's not possible, that means that we do not understand him, because he wrote great music. I mean, he wouldn't spend his life writing boring music, so it's great, but we just don't understand what's great and how to share it. And so I was, okay, so now as a cellist, I don't really understand what I'm playing and how I'm integrated in the part of the symphony. But that conductor also doesn't understand what's happening, because I cannot feel anything from that person. So I'm going to be the conductor, I'm going to study the score, and I'm going to understand everything and share that music with people and show how great it is and exciting it is. So when I think about it back, it's really nuts. I don't know how everything came to my mind, but I was raised in a way someone so talented is going to dedicate their life to write boring music. So I need to understand what's happening and make it alive.
And so you are, and so you will, in October with Mozart and Rachmaninoff and Brahms and the rest of the season. Please remind our listeners how great this orchestra is.
Yeah, they're wonderful musicians, you know. They're really at the top of their game. They play with great orchestras everywhere. They have a lot of experience. And what's even more beautiful is that they are very open-minded to go deeper in the score. And they're not about routine. You know, they are really people who want to be inspired and who want to inspire others. They are very dedicated to the orchestra, to the community. A lot of them are very involved in the community. They really want the best for everybody here. So I hope that we can have the support of the community back and share all of that with you guys.
I'd like to remind people that there's one more concert in our chamber series, and that will be May 25th at First Presbyterian Church in Clark Summit, and it will feature soprano Katie Williams. And people in northeastern Pennsylvania know Katie well because she's sung with the orchestra many times. She also appears with Pittsburgh Symphony frequently and has just got a beautiful voice, and she's doing a combination of musical genres in her recital. And Larry Voitko is going to be doing a program about her recital soon, so I'm not going to steal his thunder.
So listeners should just go to the website to learn more about Katie Williams' visit and the whole season.
Yeah, and they can not only see the repertoire there, but if they want to call to purchase tickets, they can, or they could purchase tickets online.
Soprano Katie Williams performing Friday, May 25th at 7 at the First Presbyterian Church, 300 School Street in Clark Summit, as part of the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic Chamber Series. And for more information on the web, nepaphil.org. We heard Nancy Sanderson, Executive Director of the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic, and Melise Brunet, the new Interim Music Director of the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic, speaking about the 2018-2019 season that will include music of Johannes Brahms, music of Beethoven and Mozart and Antonio Vivaldi. There will be pops concerts, holiday concerts, and chamber music as well. For more information, nepaphil.org, nepaphil.org. The opening concert of the 2018-2019 season will be Saturday, October 6th at the Kirby Center for Creative Arts at Wyoming Seminary in Kingston, just across the river from Wilkes-Barre. And the second Masterworks concert will be held April 5th at People's Security Bank Theater at Lackawanna College in Scranton. For more information on the web, nepaphil.org.